Hello, and welcome to Rather Good Chat, episode 11. And today we are discussing grime. Hi, David.
Hi, Joel.
I'm Joel.
How are you? How are you today, Joel?
Yes, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm two-dimensional.
Only two-dimensional to David. How's your digestive tract working for you then?
Oh, not at all. No, none of it's working.
Are you bisected by it?
Am I bisected?
Well, your digestive tract, right, begins at your mouth, goes all the way through to your other end, your ear end.
If you're two-dimensional, then
surely you've got two separated halves, one on each side of your digestive tract.
I suppose you're right, thinking about it, yeah. I mean, there's that idea, isn't it, that we're basically, and all life really, is just a digestive tract, and everything else is just stuff that's necessary to make the digestive tract work, right?
That's a lovely way of looking at it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that it doesn't
even minds and consciousness
tract.
And everything.
All just about a way of keeping the digestive tract going.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's good, isn't it? So does that mean that ungulates, ruminants are winning?
I think so. They've got spectacular digestive tracts, don't they?
They have. I watched a video on the glorious internet last night of some people looking at a dead floating whale, and then it kind of went and all of its insides came spurting out of its mouth.
All its precious whale oil.
Well, it was its digestive tract and stuff as well, so not just the whale oil. I guess it would be decomposing. But it looked like a lot of digestive tract in a whale.
Yeah. I mean, you'd have to, wouldn't you?
Is that what's happening there, then? The digestive tract is escaping its dead host and off to find a new host.
All the kind of unnecessary other bits have failed. So, it's off. It'll find something else to crawl into.
Swim through the sea until it finds a whale husk lying on the sea floor, and it'll kind of insert itself and fire the whole thing up like starting a moped. And off it'll go, whaling again. Is that how it works?
Would it have to find an entirely intact whale that is lacking a digestive tract?
Yeah, that's how it works, right? Is that what eels are all about?
No one knows what eels are.
Yeah, they're a great mystery, right? They're just a swimming tube with no context whatsoever. Nobody ever knows where they come from or where they go. I know there's rumours about the Sargasso Sea having some kind of eel replicator in it. So is that what it is? Are they digestive tracts? So if you're just like a meat, you never see the meat husks either, do you?
No, you don't.
How does it work? I don't understand the life cycle.
No, it's confusing, isn't it? I assume tractless husks are spontaneously generated.
Right. So they just
So, you know, you may not know this, but it used to be thought way back in time that flies just spontaneously generated.
I had heard that, actually, yes.
From rotting things, right?
Yes.
So is that how empty whales work? They just spontaneously generate on the sea
floor. I thought they were sedimentary.
Oh, maybe they are. Yeah, maybe they coalesce.
Yeah, just as the ooze and, you know, dead whelks drop out of the ocean.
Yeah.
They kind of gradually coalesce. So how does that work for us then?
Same process, I guess.
Yeah, although I've never seen either the intestinal tract escape from a person or...
Oh, it's all done.
Enter an eel.
It's all done quite discreetly in private.
Is that why we bury them when they die, so that nobody has to watch the awful spectacle of the intestines escaping?
Yeah, I think so.
And wriggling off to burrow into a new person as an eel. And
well, that's why there's that little door in the side of crematoriums as well. So before the burning happens,
the eels burst out of the husk, tunnel through the ground until they can find a new person to burrow into. Oh, is that how pregnancy works? Probably. I've always wondered where babies come from. Now I understand.
Right,
yeah.
Right. You have three. You have three children. Just to remind you.
Yeah, but I've never understood how that happened, and now I see that it's to do with burrowing eels.
I see.
Yeah.
You could have just asked your wife.
Oh, I have done loads of times. She's always been very cagey.
Yeah, again, it's one of those unwritten social rules, isn't it? You don't... This stuff all happens very, very much in private. And it's not really on to talk about it.
it's kind of forbidden. If you ask where babies come from in company, the room just goes completely dead quiet and everybody stares at you with this kind of just fury, just kind of shaking with fury and going a horrible ruddy colour.
Until the police arrive.
Yeah, or until you just kind of shuffle out of the door weeping, which has happened to me enough times that I no longer try and find out.
Well, that's your favourite way to leave a room, isn't it?
I mean, it's the only way I'm usually allowed to leave a room, which isn't the same thing. Yeah, normally they keep me in the room until I've been humiliated.
When enough, sufficient humiliation has transpired, allowed the luxury of the crying shuffle.
That's the only reason I'm ever usually brought into a room is for in order to be humiliated. Yeah,
the conversation starts to die down. No one knows what to say next. Should we get Joel in?
Yeah, I mean, I never really see or hear that bit. All I know is I'm kind of up in the attic where I'm usually stored.
Yeah,
and then someone kinds and kind of grabs me by the hair and yanks me out through the hatch and drags me into the room, and then they, you know, begin the ritual humiliation.
Mm.
And then I'm kind of punted back up into the attic afterwards.
Yeah. It's a good life, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm very grateful to them, you know. I'm given plenty of eels to eat.
You lived in London for many years.
I did, loads
have
of
you
years.
Have you ever eaten a jellied eel?
Lots of jellied eels. I love
have
jellied
you?
Eels.
I've never
and
had a
love
jellied
them,
eel.
Love them, love them. You've never had one, but you're a sea creature.
No.
Wow.
Well,
you're
I
a
mean,
merman.
I've eaten jellyfish and I've eaten eels.
Yeah.
But I never thought to put them together, which I assume is what a jellied eel is.
Yeah, it's like a sandwich, but the bread is jellyfish and the filling is eel.
Is that eel?
No, they're genuinely delicious. I love them. They're one of my favourite snacks, yeah. The only problem with them is that you have the little spiny bone in the middle, which is fine as long as you know what you're going
to
get.
With an eel, it's just one long straight bone that goes from head to tail.
It is. So you just kind of, you know, kind of slurp off the flesh and then spit the bone back out. But I think sometimes when you give people a jellied eel and it freaks them out, the things that can freak them out are they're not expecting it to be chilled because they're served chilled and fishy things are normally warm. And then it's got this bone in, and people have got quite used, I think, to eating fish fillets and things. And like if you habitually deal with whole fish, as I do, and presumably you do being half manatee. Then it's fine, but I think the bones can freak out people who think of fish as fish fingers. But they're really good. They're so tasty. Having with lots of vinegar and some pepper. Oh, they're so good. I want some now.
Huh. I never knew. I always assumed they were disgusting.
No, they're fantastic.
They're
great.
Right.
Yeah, love them.
Try one.
Mm.
I'll go up to old London town, have a pie and mash and a jellied eel.
Yeah, you don't need to have one to have the other. The pies I always found a little bit disappointing because they're not like normal pies. They're a very thin pastry and basically extremely salty mince inside.
Right.
They're not my perfect pie.
Made entirely of eels as well.
No, they're made of mystery meats.
The finest of all the meats.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the eels are far superior to the pies. In my personal opinion, you know, there are people who love pie and mash, right? With liquor. Well, isn't that a sinister name for a sauce? Liquor.
It is. It's horrid.
Mm.
These are classic London dishes, by the way.
Oh, yeah, there are lots of people who are probably thinking, what on earth are you talking about? It's not a joke. Jellied eels are classic East London fare. Yeah.
Yeah. In like Dickensian times, the kind of classic London street snack was lobster.
Really?
Yeah, lobster.
Oysters
used to be, like,
to be for poor
like
people
cheap,
as well, didn't they?
Cheap street food was lobster, yeah.
Yeah, funny, lobster and oysters. Now obviously, you know, the domain of the wealthy. It's did they use marbles as pearls? marbles.
Use pearls as marbles as pearls. They must have, yeah. must have been absolutely inundated with pearls.
Yeah, it must have been everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, is that how you ended up with pearly kings and queens?
Oh, it must be, yeah, all the extra pearls just lying about the place.
Just covered in pearls. So presumably they weren't always buttons. Do you think they were covered in real pearls originally?
So what is a pearly king and queen, right? I know what they look like, right?
These pearly is what they look like.
Traditional weird London-y costumes.
Weird?
But what did they do? Was it like an entertainment thing? Or...
Well, when you have little fates and things, the pearly king and queen come and, you know, be the pearly king and queen. They're like a little local character couple.
You know.
In an ideal world, obviously, everyone would be singing, "Knees up, mother Brown, knees up, mother Brown," while dancing with their knees high in the air.
Have a banana. That kind of thing.
Yeah, I wonder what they did about that line in Dickensian times. Presumably bananas weren't... This is funny, isn't it? Lobsters and oysters coming out of their ears, but...
Not literally.
Bananas would have been only for the aristocracy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It would have been a real bonono.
A bonobo.
Bonobo. It's a delicious bonobo.
I'm not sure you're allowed to eat bonobos. I think
they're radioactive, aren't they? Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Loads of potassium in a bonobo.
Yeah.
Full of potassiums.
Well, it's because of all the bananas they eat.
Right. It's like tuna and mercury, isn't it? It's like a predator thing. You know how toxins get... There's a little bit of the toxin in the small fish, and then the bigger fish that eat them get more of the toxins, and they get concentrated as you go up the food chain.
Yeah.
It's the same, like bananas have radioactive potassium in them, but not enough to turn you into a Hulk. But then their natural predator is the bonobo. And they're very highly radioactive as a result.
The predator of the bonobo is the Hulk.
That's right. That's why Hulks are so radioactive. Because of eating the bonobos. But that's why you're not allowed to eat bonobos, because if you do, you probably Hulk, but there are worse things that could happen.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily going to be hulking for you. It could be just eruption of tentacles.
Well, would you get specifically bonobo powers?
Oh, I'm not going there, because we all know what bonobos do best.
What's that, Joel?
It's not very family friendly.
Right.
Anyway, we're talking about crime today.
Oh, yeah.
So, which is useful, because crime one is eating a bonobo.
That's the basis of modern law, isn't it?
It is, yeah, on the law sheet. Crime one, eating a bonobo. Crime two, eating the queen or king.
Crime three, talking about the spheres.
Yeah.
The orbs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you mustn't mention them. Have we just broken the... Have we just violated... We committed crime three.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, what happens now?
Well, I think we get disappeared. I think that's what normally happens.
Okay. All right. Well, let's carry on and hope that they let us off this time.
If this cuts off abruptly in about 5 or 10 minutes, then that's why.
It's because we mentioned the spheres.
Yeah.
Fear the spheres. Yeah. Are there any other crimes? I don't know. That feels like it covers it.
Well, we're up to crime four.
Crime four, yeah.
Crime four is failing to do everything you possibly can to bring about the inevitable machine god, right?
Yes. I mean, it's very important that we all get behind the coming machine god, right?
Yeah, it's really very important.
I, for one, am a very firm advocate of our coming silicon deity.
Yes, me too, yeah.
I think
I'm all about that.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I'm on board, and I am working to bring it about.
Yes. Is that all the crimes?
I mean, it's all the crimes I can think of. Can you think of anything else that's forbidden? There are some uncrimes, right? There are some uncrimes which are mandatory.
Right.
Yeah.
For example?
That you must always salute a lobster. That's an uncrime, right?
I'm confused what an uncrime is. Surely that could be rephrased as it's against the law to not salute.
No, you see.
That's a double negative, though, isn't it? It's awkward. It's an awkward phrasing.
Yeah. No, it's not against the law to not salute a lobster. It's just the law that you have to salute the lobster.
Yeah.
It's a lobster loot, it's called. Yeah.
A lobster loot.
Yeah, it's a lobster loot. There was, for a long time, a member of the House of Lords called Sir Lobster Loot. And he was actually a lobster.
Yes, he was.
If lobsters are allowed to grow big enough, they never stop growing. They just get bigger and bigger and bigger, and they can live for hundreds of years.
That's true. Yeah.
You never see the big ones now because we eat them before they get truly massive. But you have to salute them first. But yeah, they can grow absolutely enormous, can't they?
Yeah, like 30 or 40 miles.
Yeah. Easily that. And so it's best to salute them. Lobster loot obviously has since been boiled to death and devoured.
Ceremonially boiled to death.
Yes. Any other crimes or mandatories?
I wanted to ask about murder.
Okay. What is it you want to know about murder, Dave? Interesting that you should be asking about murder, inquiring.
Is it okay to do a murder?
Right. I mean, I'm not aware of a specific crime about it. Have you checked the statute books?
No, I haven't. No. I really need to, actually, quite urgently, I think.
Right. I think probably some of it depends on context, right?
Mm.
Like, is there an unsaluted lobster involved in any of this? Because
I don't recall. I mean, no, not really. There were lots of scorpions.
Yeah.
Like loads of them.
This is getting quite specific. Are we discussing a specific murder, Dave?
This is entirely hypothetical. Entirely.
Right.
Yes.
In the hypothetical event that you may or may not have murdered someone with a lot of scorpions.
Pushed 20 or 30 people into my scorpion pit and then laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed.
Right.
As they were stung 100 times.
That be a crime?
Would that be a crime, hypothetically?
Well, I mean, scorpions are just land lobsters, right? So I think if those people in the pit failed to salute the scorpions, then the scorpions would be well within their rights to sting them and then probably eat them, I'd have thought. Did they do any saluting?
No, they were pretty securely cable tied up.
Yeah, okay. Well, they were asking for it then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your scorpion is your classic land lobster, right?
I think that's right. That's the closest. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I think so. Basically a land lobster, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It's interesting how when they came out of the sea, they felt it necessary to put spiky stingers on their tails. You don't get those on the sea lobsters, do you?
They don't work underwater.
No. Is that to do stingers with gravity? No gravity underwater, is there?
No, as we've established, there's no gravity underwater, no.
Is that why stingers
The stinger
work?
Works on gravity. The venom is pushed down gravity through the venom. Tip of the stinger by gravity. Yeah.
I see, yeah, okay.
So if you tried to use a stinger underwater, then it would go the other way, and you'd end up stinging the back of your head.
Oh, I see, yeah. As opposed to gravy, which is different from gravity. I get those two confused a lot, and it causes all sorts of problems, but gravy is different.
That's why your roast dinners are so stodgy and dense.
It is, yes. It's why people just kind of find themselves orbiting around them, unable to eat them. Yeah.
Sort of awkwardly shuffling around the table going, Joel, I'm looking at it. I think I'm all right.
Yeah.
I ate yesterday. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. That's what's happening. It's because of the gravities. A lovely gravity boat full of gravity to pour on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how are you feeling about crime so far, Dave?
So far, I'm not a fan of crime.
What's your favourite crime?
My favourite crime? Ooh, that's a good one. I think it's probably corporate tax evasion.
Ah, nice one.
Yeah
that's a cracker, isn't it?
Yeah. Although Although, actually, that's not a crime, is it?
I mean, that's why when people do crime thrillers, it's usually about some form of corporate tax evasion, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Fraud.
Fraud.
Oh, yeah, mine is fraud.
Is it fraud? Oh, right. Any specific or particular instance of fraud or just fraud in general?
Well, I'd like Sigmund Freud. And
right, yeah, right.
And, you know, all his Freudian philosophy. Yeah.
Yes. I like Emma Freud off of the radio.
Right, yeah. She's Sigmund Freud's digestive tract, isn't she?
I think she's actually his granddaughter or something, or great
granddaughter. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's his digestive tract with a new husk.
A new host.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's generational then. It's how, I suppose.
I mean,
it
not
is
always,
how
it doesn't, yeah, have to be. It is in that case though.
Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah, you can tell.
Yeah. When an old tract is seeing the end of its host's life, it needs to seek out a compatible husk.
Yeah, I mean, anything made of meat is fine, I think. That's why you get them going into sausages, which is what makes snakes. Or, yeah.
Oh, yeah, didn't know,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, or into cushions, which is how you get wombats.
Right, yeah, yeah. Oh, this is all new to
me. Pincushions gets you hedgehogs.
Yeah, yeah, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Chamois leathers gets you bats.
Yeah, it's true. A string of sausages will get you a squids.
you have to knot them all together at one end.
Well, yeah, that's how they come from the butcher, you see. That's where the squids come from. And then they
didn't know any of this.
Slip down the drain to get to the sea.
What's the biggest crime you've ever committed?
I don't know. I mean, I'm struggling to beat your 20 people in a scorpion pit.
Hmm. Well, I don't think that's a crime we established, right?
Oh, no, that's fine, isn't it? Yeah. I don't think I've ever done anything even vaguely immoral, let alone illegal, Dave.
No, I don't think so either. No.
Yeah, I'm a deeply moral person. So, Dave, I am currently about to try grafting apples onto some hawthorns that are growing in my garden. They're very spiky. And I thought it would be nicer to have apples. And I'm also going to try grafting some quince onto them. I don't know whether it's going to work, but it might. Have you ever had quince? So would you like to have quince trees?
I think so. I've had quince jam.
Right.
I'm not sure I've ever eaten just a quince.
Right. I mean, probably most famous quince in this country would be Quince William, right?
Yes. In America, it'd be Quincy Jones.
Yes, it would. Yeah. Oh, do you remember there was Quincy Willis, the weather girl, as well?
Yes. Yeah, also famous fairy tale character, Quincy Spider.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot of quinces in popular culture, but I'm quite looking forward to possibly replacing my very spiky hawthorns with quince trees. Then I'll have a billion quinces of a couple of different varieties. The question is going to be what to do with all my quinces, I suppose. Could mince the quince?
Just chuck them in a ditch.
Oh, and then what? Just leave them in the ditch?
Yeah, yeah. Fill up a ditch with quinces.
Yeah, I was going to ask if I could use your ditch, but it's already full of scorpions, isn't it? Or landlocks.
Yes, as we go. Yeah, absolutely rammed with them.
Do you ever try eating the scorpions?
No, they're a bit too, like, spicy for me.
Oh, I was going to say, do they taste of lobster? I bet that they do taste like lobsters.
I bet they do, yeah.
They are little spiky lobsters, really.
I'm sure someone eats scorpions. I'm sure they do.
I've seen them on a stick in a photograph, I'm sure. People doing little scorpion kebabs. If you've eaten scorpions out there in the world, drop us a line and let us know if they taste like lobsters, because I bet they do. I've never done this myself, but I saw one of the TV survival guys. I think that guy with the blonde hair and the short shorts, whose name I've forgotten. Anyway,
Bear Grylls?
No, he's got dark hair.
No, I know who you mean.
The chunkier,
yes,
guy with blonde hair.
Ray Mears.
Ray Mears, that's right. Yeah, yeah. I saw him eating woodlice And apparently they taste like prawns.
Not on telly.
No, he was just walking. I was walking down the street and I heard this kind of rustling and I looked into the kind of undergrowth expecting to see a badger or something like that. And no, it was Ray Mears. And he was
stuffing
just
stuffing fistfuls of woodlice.
In front of him was like a kind of roughly excavated pit. He had clearly dug it with his hands. And it was just full of swarming woodlice. He was shoveling them into his mouth and kind of moaning and groaning as he did it. I wasn't sure whether it was in suffering or ecstasy. Hard to tell.
Yeah. How did he look? Was he like...
wild-eyed.
Like it'd been there for a while?
Yeah, he was very ragged, covered in mud, some quite a lot of scratches, some congealed blood. His clothes were tattered, but he had very big socks on that were holding up well. And tiny, tiny shorts, you know, essentially like khaki speedos, really. But and just shoveling these woodlice into his face. Oh man, it haunts me to this day. I still, when I'm trying to sleep, I still see his eyes. He was there, like going, kind of shoveling his woodlice, and I kind of made a startled yelp. And he looked straight at me.
Oh, God.
Just suddenly looked up and stared straight at me. And his eyes, oh, God, his eyes.
Woodlice crawling around his mouth.
Oh, I still see them now.
That's because he followed you home, right?
Yeah, it's because he's living in the ceiling now and he's made this little kind of peephole.
But, I mean, on the plus side, your woodlice... infestation has been sorted right out.
Well, you'd think that, but it's got worse because he's... Oh, my dog's here. Hello, Barney. Barney, no need to bark. Barney's barking at Ray Mears. He's in the ceiling. it's all right. Let Ray
Good dog.
Be. Yeah. You'd think that it'd get better, but it's got much worse because he's going out at night and collecting them and bringing them back.
I see.
I think it might even be a deliberate ploy to... have like a more sustainable woodlice population in the attic so he doesn't have to go out hunting for them all the time.
Yeah, sure. I always feel like woodlice are one of the nicest and friendliest of insects, right? Like, no one's scared of woodlice, are they?
Well, I don't know. I'm pretty scared of everything about woodlice now. Like, I did think of them as quite benign, but now it's just they've got this horrific connotation because they attract Ray Mears, you see.
They do, yeah, yeah.
You want to be careful if you've got a large population of woodlice, you might find Ray Mears. You know you never see him on the telly anymore.
That's because he's in your ceiling, yeah.
Yeah, he's in the ceiling with untold millions of woodlice, just stuffing them into his mouth. When he's not there, he's digging for woodlice and storing them in his cheek pouches and bringing them back. I saw him climbing up the outside of the wall to get in through the top yesterday evening in the dark with the sun behind him. It was just horrendous. He moves like nothing should move, you know. He's kind of almost spidery, but, you know.
His limbs just bend him in just slightly the wrong way.
Yeah, it's horrific. It's horrendous. Oh,
have you tried talking to him or is he too far gone for that?
I did try talking to him, but the noises that came out of him are just this kind of, when he's not eating, which obviously comes with this horrific moaning kind of groaning noise. If you try and talk to him, you get this kind of chittering screech. It's right. Just awful. Yeah, it's horrendous noise.
He's more woodlouse than mad now.
Yeah, I mean, God knows what's going on. If there's any humanity left behind those mad eyes, it's so far gone, it's impossible to detect.
What are you going to do about it?
What am I going to do about it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, do you want to come round and sort him out? You know, yeah. Barney's the dog, obviously. Barney keeps him under control to a certain extent. I no longer wake up to find him looming over me with woodlice pouring out of his mouth.
Scuttling across your bed.
Yeah, yeah, because Barney kind of keeps him either outside or in the ceiling. But, I've never been into his lair to try and get him out. I hate to think what would happen. I mean, imagine if he turned on you. Imagine if those disgusting jaws closed around your throat. God.
Yeah, he's unpredictable is the problem, I think.
Oh. And he moves so fast.
Inhumanly fast.
Yeah, and on surfaces he has no business being able to grip. It's, and those shorts, oh, God. They're awful. Yeah, they bulge in really unpleasant ways.
They leave little to the imagination, don't they?
That's right. Yeah, little to nothing. So they're straining, ready to burst. Have you got any advice on Raymere's infestation?
Have you tried whacking them with a broom?
No, I haven't tried that.
Give that a go. Just give him a couple of good hard whacks.
All right, hang on. Wait 1 minute, okay? Just wait there from him. Ah! Oh, God! Okay.
How'd it go?
He just ate the broom. No, it's awful. Yeah. Yeah, the broom just disappeared into his gaping maw.
Mm.
The wood lice in there made short work of it, you see.
Right, of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I used like a wooden broom, of course.
Yeah, I used a wooden broom and they just, you know, they just kind of munched it as fast as I could ram it into his face. The wood lice just gnawed it away.
Have you tried spraying him with a bottle of water?
I was going to say, hang on, and then he swallows the wood lice and it just makes him stronger, Dave.
No.
I think it's been really counterproductive, that attack. Spraying him with water.
Yeah,
spraying him with water.
In a firm voice saying, no, no, Raymere's, no. I might do it.
Okay, hold on. Wait there for a minute. Okay.
No, Raymere's. No. No.
Ah! Oh, God. Oh. Okay, no, sorry, that didn't work.
Oh.
Yeah.
What went wrong?
Well, I kind of sprayed the water on him and this kind of bubbling, hissing sound began and like this kind of awful, noxious fumes started to fill the room. I think it felt vaguely like, smelt like sulfuric acid and now quite a lot of my skin's hanging off. I'm not sure. I'm not sure that he's human anymore. I think he might be. You know how Alien had acid blood?
Yeah.
I think he might be kind of like inside out that. You know? Like I think the liquid reacting with his carapace has caused a kind of horrific acidic reaction.
Does he have a carapace?
Yeah,
you did mention that.
He's got this kind of segmented grey carapace growing across his body now.
Mm.
Like I only realised because his shirt's now ripped where it's kind of burst through the cotton. His khaki shirt's kind of dangling off him in tatters now. Yeah, and he's got this kind of woodlousy, grey, segmented carapace.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, change tack entirely.
Yeah.
Maybe appeasement would be the best.
You think I should feed him peas?
Yes. No, I don't mean that. No. Oh. I mean,
that's
you
what
know,
we did with Hitler,
you know,
isn't it? Just gave him loads of,
peas.
Like, buckets full of peas, and it didn't work at all.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
That was Chamberlain's great strategy.
You know giant isopods?
Yes.
They're creatures that live in the deep sea.
I do.
And they're basically enormous woodlice.
They are, yeah. They're giant, aren't they? Yeah.
So you should get a load of them and just feed them up, see what happens.
Can I just ask you a quick question? Right, there's no wood at the bottom of the deep sea, is there? So how does that work?
You wouldn't think so.
Would you?
I think they probably crawl up onto land in the dead of night.
Eat the woods.
Yeah, that's why all the piers keep collapsing and falling into the sea.
Oh, yeah, that explains it. Right, yeah, okay.
And going on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it the friction of them nibbling them probably sets them on fire, right?
Probably does, yeah.
You've got to watch that friction. Nibble friction is friction.
Also, giant isopods are just inveterate arsonists.
Right, I thought you were going to say they are something else. But, so I've heard they're quite pleasant, really. You know, quite good company.
They're absolute arsonists.
It's not easy being an arsonist when you live in the floor of the deep ocean, right? It's one of the least.
No, that's why they that's why they go so wild when they get onto a pier.
Is that why they live there? Because they've been kind of hoofed out by the woodlice, that the little ones who just want to live in and eat the wood. And you can't really do that. It all just keeps getting burned by the big ones.
If it's all just constantly on fire, it makes
they're
it
like
very hard.
Delinquent woodlice, like, get in the sea! Go on. You can try and burn things as much as you like in the sea. Get in there.
Yeah, I think that's probably it. That makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I appreciate your advice, but I'm reluctant to get them into my ceiling with Ray in case they just burn my house down.
They might do, yeah. Yeah, that's actually a real danger. I hadn't thought about
that. Yeah, it is.
What if you give everything a nice little spritz of water so it's a bit damp?
Hang on. No, that's just going to result in a massive acid, like, leak.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, man, this is such a difficult problem.
It really is.
Mm.
I don't know what I'm going to do about him.
Maybe you could just...
Have you ever had any problem with infestation of survival experts?
No, I haven't. No, I mean, Bear Grylls tried for a while. Tried to infest me, but...
What happened?
He was just a bit
there?
Too... Well, he wasn't very good at it. He's just a bit too polite.
Okay.
He turned up. He tried to invest my house. He had like 200 or 300 Boy Scouts with him as well.
Right. Okay.
To make up the numbers, because he's the head scout, right? Is that right?
Oh, he is. He's the when they all combine into a mecha scout, he's the head.
Yeah, yeah.
And
he's
the
head.
The Boy Scouts form the body. Was that the time that he caught a glimpse of your thorax and everything went wrong?
He hasn't really been seen since. Occasional glimpses of him running screaming through the woods.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I suppose it's come in handy then in that case.
Still have a minor lingering Boy Scout problem. But, I mean, they're easy enough to deal with. You just sort of...
How many of them disappeared into your baffling thorax?
Oh, it's impossible to count.
Right.
Hundreds at least. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, it's hard to count because you risk kind of catching sight of the thorax if you're counting how many scouts are going in.
That makes sense. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Are there any other survival
experts? So arson.
Arson, yeah. Oh, that's a crime.
No, that's it.
Yeah.
It is a crime, yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, we've done a crime. We've done a crime.
Yeah, we have done a crime.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't done a crime, but we've discussed a crime. That's good.
Joel, have you ever committed arson?
Well, I have set things on fire. I suppose it depends where you draw the line between legitimate setting things on fire and arson, right?
I think it's got to be, it's arson if the thing you're setting on fire isn't
yours.
Doesn't
want to be set on fire. Oh, isn't mine.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's perfectly okay to set things on fire, for example, logs, if you have a fireplace. Yep. That's allowed.
Well, if the logs aren't yours, though, is that arson?
That's a good point.
What if you forage a log and then you set fire to it?
Is that arson? If you take it home?
Yeah.
See, if I stole someone's car and then drove it into my house and then set it on fire, that would still be arson, presumably.
Oh, right. No, I think that counts as heating your home, doesn't it? That's fair use, I think.
Yeah, that actually, yeah. In the rising energy cost is positively encouraged. Yeah.
I don't think any jury would convict on that one, Dave. I think, you know, stealing anything and setting fire to it in your house is fine. It's when you wastefully set fire to things outside of your house that people can get annoyed about it.
Okay, so it's got to be something you don't own that's not in your house. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you ever done that?
I don't think I have. No.
Yeah, there you go. So what are some other favourite crimes of yours? What are some good ones?
Good ones. I am a huge fan of shoplifting.
Like the Jeff Capes style of shoplifting, where you...
Yes. Yeah. I once lifted a Tesco.
Did you? Wow, that's a big shop.
Yeah. It's a really big shop, yeah.
There's a whole genre.
Didn't lift it very
far,
just a couple of inches.
Right. There's a whole genre of jokes which started on Beta, as far as I can tell, with a shop with Jeff Capes capes, and it was called Jeff's Capes. Jeff Capes selling capes. And then, like, yeah, many, many jokes of that style grew out of that.
Right.
I do like the kind of person with a shop selling a thing which is based on their name format of joke. It's good.
it always delivers, doesn't it?
It does. Unlike the Royal Mail. Yeah, bit of politics there. Did you see I got some politics in?
I think the Royal Mail's separate to the post office, isn't it? I think they're separate companies.
Oh, are they?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't really understand
I'll retract that then.
So, true crime is very popular, mm-hmm. isn't it? People love true crime.
They do love true crime.
True crime podcasts and documentaries. Yeah. I've never really, I don't know.
No, it's not my thing.
It's all a bit, seems a bit salacious to me, doesn't it?
I don't, yeah. There's somebody who's...
Like staring at a car crash kind of, I don't like it.
Yeah, although I do, you know, I do find it difficult to resist staring at a car crash whenever I go past one. But I'm not a fan of the true crime.
Ones that you cause don't count.
Don't they? But that's all the car crashes I've ever seen. I mean, all the incidents.
You do cause a lot of traffic accidents.
I do, yeah.
It's your stubborn refusal to open your eyes while you drive, I think, is the problem.
I mean, that's probably part of it. I've been practicing my echolocation. So I feel like I'm a pretty good echo driver, you know?
Yeah. You're driving along, eyes firmly
screaming,
pressed tight.
Screaming.
Clicking away and screaming and going, yep, windshield is still a foot away from me. Yep, still there.
Yeah, it's good. You know, but you're right, it does cause a lot of accidents. That and the throwing handfuls of wood lice at cars as they go by.
Well, I mean, that's just friendly, isn't it?
It is, especially...
That's just road etiquette.
Especially when they've got their windows open and you can get them right in. That's when it works really well. Yeah.
I never understood why you stuck those huge blades on your wheels like in Ben-Hur.
Oh, right, like Boudicca did.
Yeah.
It's just like a historical thing. It's like Brexit, you know. I'm kind of getting down with Boudicca and her chariot with the swords on. Like, that would have been an incredibly inefficient way of going into battle, right? Like having swords on your wheels. Like, what a stupid idea.
I watched a bit of Gladiator the other day, the Russell Crowe.
That's the one about the man who's really happy because he's sword fighting, right? The Gladiator. Oh, no, is it the one about the Gladiator?
It's about a cannibal. Yeah. It's about a cannibal.
It's that.
Who's very satisfied.
Because he ate that lady who was very delicious.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Gladiator.
He was quite pleased. Yeah. He was pleased, Theatre.
Great film, that. Really uplifting.
That's really good. Yeah. So, yeah, there's a scene in that where there's a chariot with blades on the wheels sticking out.
Yeah.
And it, like, hurtles past someone and cuts them clean in half.
Oh.
I just don't think that sounds very realistic.
No. Have you tried it out to check it?
Unless he's just made of tissue.
Right.
I think it would, you know, certainly hurt him quite a lot.
Yeah.
But I don't think, like... It's the movie thing of someone being bisected, right?
Yeah.
Where the top half and the bottom half just stay exactly where they are.
Yeah.
Only with, like, a bisection in the middle.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how physics works, if I'm honest.
Well, the thing is, the sword's only got one really sharp blade as well, right? So, like, it's very unlikely to have hit him in such a way as to get through.
Well, yes.
To cause him horrible injury.
My understanding of swords as well is you don't really chop with a sword, right? The idea, it's like a knife. You draw the blade along something, and it's the...
Yeah, or you can stab. Like, stabbing's far more dangerous than slashing, right? Anyway, yeah, I think for various reasons it's nonsense. And also the reason that you're far more likely to horrifically injure the shins of your mates who are alongside you in the battle line.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Or get stuck on a passing tree that you've got to get past, you know?
I think it's just a really inefficient way of bisecting someone.
Yeah, but...
There's probably better ways.
Yeah, I'm sure. But, I mean, it is causing a lot of entertainment for me on the roads. So, you know, so it's got that going for it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, especially with...
How do you deal with dual carriageways? I presume it's quite hard to overtake without causing a massive accident.
Yeah, you say that as if it's not actually the whole point.
Right, of course it is. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's a feature, not a bug, to use that annoying, common, popular, modern phrase.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's fine. It's great. And then I can stare at them. That's when I open my eyes to look at the accidents.
Right.
Because that's always fun, right? Looking at a traffic accident.
That's the best bit,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to have your eyes open while you're driving with the swords. You just want to follow the noises. Basically, as long as there's a scream, if you can hear either an engine or a scream, drive towards it as fast as you can with your eyes shut. And then once the car will no longer move, open your eyes, and you're guaranteed to have something delightful to watch.
That's
works
right.
Every time. Yeah.
I was going to suggest...
And it's celebrating our rich British heritage. Sorry. Yeah.
Of murder.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, yes. What were you going to suggest?
Well, I was going to say about true crime podcasts. I think we should retool this one. We've done 10 episodes now. I think we should...
Yeah.
It's time for a format rethink. I think we should retool into a true crime podcast.
Right.
Because they're very popular. People love them. Mm-hmm. But I don't know anything about any crimes, and I don't want to do any research. So I was thinking the easiest way to do it is if you commit some baffling crime, right? And then we can spend 200 episodes investigating it quite easily.
Yeah.
Because we'll know all about it.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great
something,
plan.
Something really interesting and baffling, I think. And also horrific. It's got to be horrific. That's the whole draw, right?
We'll kind of frame it as, you know, Joel, I'll go, hi. And you go, Joel, you've committed this absolutely baffling and brutal series of murders in this very, very elaborate way. How can we possibly work out how and why you did this? And I'll say, well,
yes, yeah.
Let's have a look at the evidence, shall we? And then we can,
and then we forensically examine every bit of evidence for weeks and weeks and weeks. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And you can, you know.
So, for example,
say,
one episode, you could give me your phone. I'll go through your text messages. You know, see if there's any clues in there.
Yeah, and you have a look at my car. I say, I see that your car's got swords on all the wheels, and they're absolutely coated with blood. And bits of meat
with viscera,
and bone.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
And you yourself are coated in viscera and, you know, seems that might have some relevance to these people with the mangled shins.
We could.
And you go, yeah,
we could.
I'll say, oh, yeah, looks like you're onto something there, David.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we could get any survivors that may happen to exist or the families of the people you've slaughtered.
Yeah, I'm not going to leave any survivors. And, it's going to be the families.
And you can...
Yeah.
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 And then we can interview them. And you can interview them. That'll be a really spicy interview, right?
It will be. It'll be great. You know, I mean...
You could say, how did you feel when your husband was bisected? How did that make you feel? And then, you know...
I mean, the interviews presumably.
The wife could say, "Well, quite bad, actually. It's quite horrible." And you'd be like, "Tell me more. Tell me more."
Yeah,
please.
Presumably, the interviews will go on right up until Ray Mears kind of slithers out of the hole in the ceiling, and they you know run away with Ray Mears hot on the heels. That's going to be a limiting factor. The Ray Mears infestation.
It's a natural way of ending an interview, though, isn't it?
You it's the best way of ending an interview, yeah. Otherwise, they just drag on until they get boring. You know, far better to allow Ray Mears to, you know, chase the screaming victim off. I mean, he will inevitably catch them. He's far faster than any human.
Oh,
now.
Man, yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievably fast.
It's just awful watching him devour a man or, yeah.
So do you think that's a good idea for our next podcast? We'll just do, well, in between this one and the next one we record.
He doesn't bother finishing him off first, you see. He just starts on the midsection and burrows and just keeps going. It's horrendous.
Ugh.
Sorry, anyway, yeah, sorry. You were saying, should we do that from the next episode?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. So, I mean, before we record the next one, you've got to commit a series
of baffling,
horrific crimes. I'll go out
and do some baffling, like, why and how could anyone possibly... have done such a thing. I'll do a few of those.
Yeah.
And I'll come back to you and explain it all and then we can investigate.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Perfect.
Brilliant. Well, that's going to be good, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. Just cool. In case you don't get round to it, should we think of a topic we could discuss instead?
Okay. What would you like to discuss next time? Oh, hang on. Before we do that, we need to reach a conclusion.
Oh, we haven't decided.
What is it for crime? Yeah. Thumbs up or thumbs down for crime? Is it good or bad?
Well,
does
bearing
it stay
in mind that we've pivoted our whole... We've pivoted our whole focus of the podcast into investigating a crime now. I'm going to have to say thumbs up.
Thumbs up for crime. Mm. Yes, unanimous.
Hooray!
Which means after we've seized power, crime will be mandatory.
Yes, it'll be illegal to not do crimes.
It will, yeah. Excellent. Well, I'm glad, glad we've got that policy in place, that people know what to expect come the very, very bloody coup. Which I'm sure won't be long far away now. Great. Okay.
Mm.
Brilliant. And so next week we will discuss anything in particular? What are you thinking? Survival, seeing as we're discussing survivalists?
Oh, yeah. We could. Survival. That's a good one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Survival. Survivor was the band that did Eye of the Tiger, wasn't it? Is that right?
It was, yes.
Yeah. So they survived by eating the eyes of tigers.
Specifically just the eyes, the rest of it they just threw in a hedge.
Yeah, they didn't need them. They had enough eyes to sustain them. I think what they did was they were lost in the jungles of India and they just leapt onto tigers from trees, sucked their eyeballs out,
right,
and just leapt back into the trees and hooted off. Hooting! Yeah, and when they eventually made their way back to civilization, they wrote a song about it. The Eye of the Tiger!
Is really quite tasty. Yum, yum, yum. Slurping out the tiger's eyeballs. And so on.
I'm the last known survivor eating tiger's eyes. And I love to eat the eyes of the tiger. Yeah, like that.
That's exactly how it goes. Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, see you next week, Dave. Bye.
See you, dude. Bye.
Bye.